Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful man of God whom we love and I love especially. Thank you, Lord, for the grace upon his life. He shines Jesus everywhere he goes. And Lord, I thank you for him, and I pray that today you would anoint him with a special word for us right here in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to once again be in the house of the Lord here and to be able to bless the name of the Lord and to be able to give glory to God in all the ways that acknowledge him, that he would direct our paths. And I want to say thank you to Tammy and Eric for putting up with my nonsense whilst I've been here. Oh, yes, I did. To all those who have been so wonderful to me since I've been here, I'm surprised that my figure hasn't risen to about here, with people taking me out for meals and that, and I'd like to say thank you to them, especially at this time. It's been a great time, and I believe God brought me out here this time with a very real mission to serve him and to do the works of God in whatever way I can and whichever way he leads me. I've been very conscious of God's presence, very conscious of his leading and guiding in everything I've been doing here, and be very conscious of how small I really am, because I see what God is doing and I'm humbled by what God is doing and realize how great a God we really serve and how wonderful Savior he is. There are many times I think God could have blotted me out of his copybook. God could have said, go away from me, I don't want to have anything more to do with you. But instead, I feel the loving arms of Jesus around me saying, welcome home. And as he welcomes me every day into his presence, I just want to welcome him in a wonderful way here in this church and in the churches where the gospel is being preached in this land. There are many pastors and ministers that I've met since I've been here. The first encounter was with the minister's prayer meeting. Is that right, Eric?
That's right.
And God gave me a word for them. And I've heard good things come back, and I believe the word is really towards a mighty move of God in the whole of the Cape. And for God to do a great work in their lives and in their beings, and for his name to be magnified, uplifted, and glorified. I want you to know, one man and God is a majority. It's true. The power that God has given us and the love that God has bestowed upon us is so incredible and so great that the half will never be told. Because he is a mighty God, and never think that you are doing the work and take all the credit for it. Some people clapped for me the first time I was here, and I said, that's for you, Lord. And I believe that with all my heart and all my being, because I stand before you today absolutely reliant upon God and upon the Holy Spirit to lead and guide in everything I say and do. And wherever I am and whatever I do, I spend prayer, a lot of time in prayer, seeking God to find out what is the word God has for you today. And what is the situation that God has for you in the future? That God may give you direction, help, and in every way, the instruments and the power to do the work of God in a very real way. And I'm turning to a very popular chapter in the Word of God, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, and speaking basically, first of all, upon the whole armor of God. And many of you will know it. My translation might be slightly different to yours, but there is a big area of ministry that we really need to realize, that we need to put on not just a part of, but the whole armor of God. Every part of it, that we may be protected against the devil and his wiles. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I want to realize that we have more power than you will ever realize in your life before. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And our strength in the Lord comes from our knowledge of God's word and his Holy Spirit leading, guiding us into all truth. Because knowledge is faith. I want you to hear that again. Knowledge builds your faith. Let's put it that way. Because the more we know about God, the more we understand about the things of God, a greater our faith will become, and greater will be our effectiveness in the things of God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of stronghold. And God has given us weapons, but he's not only given us weapons, he's given us the covering for our strength to be able to face up to the weapon. Have you ever seen a beekeeper go into the bees without his net, without his strong gloves on his hands? Now, he doesn't always get stung by bees because the bees get used to him, I suppose, taking his honey. But if you're really going to take the honey from the bees, you're going to get stung. Sounds like someone going into a shop to buy something and the ruthless trader wants to charge you a lot more, so he stings you for the less. But you know, we need to realize we have protective clothing supplied by God and purchased by the blood on Calvary and by the sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. A person who welds material needs a pair of goggles. Sometimes those goggles have to be almost black. You can't see through them. But to weld, you can see the spark of the light and everything that's going on and get the protection for your eyes that you need. There are many other areas in life where we find that people need protective clothing. I was talking to someone the other day. I think it was Scott. And he was saying he had boots with steel things in them. That is to protect him as he goes to work. In fact, in England, and I think in South Africa too, it is illegal to wear boots without those steel tips in certain areas. Because it protects them from the things that are around them and the things that they are working for. Especially a steel worker who might have something heavy fall upon his foot and it would be normally crushed, but the steel would protect him. And so God has provided us with many wonderful gifts and protective clothing in our Christian walk and talk. Paul says, put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Put on, and this isn't something saying, well, you know, if you want to put on, it doesn't say that. The Bible says, put on. And I believe to be successful in your Christian life, to be able to face people out there, you are going to have to put on the armor of God. I'm reminded of David when he came to the battle with Goliath. He stood around, and whilst he stood around, he saw his brothers there, and he gave them some of the cheeses and bread that his father had given to him. And whilst he was standing around there, he saw the fear in the eyes of all the men around him. And he started saying, is there a God in Israel? Can I say, is there a God here in Cape Cod? And I believe there is. And as he was looking around, the brothers got angry with him. Oh, you're only here to see the battle. You're only here to play around and see what goes on here. And during that time, Goliath comes out and shouts and challenging Israel, if there is anyone here who will take on the challenge, the victory will be to the one who wins. Now, Israel didn't have the right answer to that situation. But David, a young lad, maybe we call him the runt of the litter. Fairly good-looking lad, I believe, in his time. Had many encounters with God before. And as he relayed this to the king, who we went up to and said, no one else is going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go into the battle. I'm going to take on this uncircumcised Philistine because I believe there is a God in Israel. I believe there is a God who can overcome the circumstances. I believe there is a God who is with us and will neither leave us or forsake us. And everybody poo-pooed him. Even the king says, oh, you can't do it. You're too small. But he said, whilst I was herding my father's sheep, I was able to kill a bear who attacked them. I was able to also kill a lion who attacked them. And said, I'm not going forward in my strength. I'm going forward in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower that the righteous may enter and be safe. That's what the scripture says. All power is given unto us in heaven and earth. We have the power of God on our sides to whip any enemy. We have the power on our sides to combat the forces of evil. We have the power on our side to take on the enemy and strip him of his armor. And if necessary, cut off his head. Ooh, that sounds a bit bloody from today, because when I think of what's going on with a lot of the trouble in the world today, but God one day is going to turn around and beat down and defeat the enemy of our souls and our lives and our beings. And David goes on, and in his battled cry and in his thoughts about God, the king suddenly relents and says to David, okay, David, here's my armor. Try it on and go out and fight the battle with him. I could just imagine this a young lad taking Saul's armor. Now remember, Saul was head and shoulders above any of the others around him. And David was still a young lad, probably had a lot of growth in him to go. And anyway, he tried on the armor, and I could see it just weighing him down. He couldn't move with the armor. You know, the problem with many of us today, we try to move with the wrong armor on. We have many types of religions and many realities that we think are there. And we grab onto this and we grab onto that. You know, I even found myself taking up some of these beliefs that some people had at one time. My mother had a thing that when she got to the new month, she said you'd have to say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit on the beginning of the month. I don't know if any of you heard this. It's all ideas and it's part of a fertility cult. That says it, that you would have a lot of offspring. Well, rabbits certainly do. And if we bred like rabbits, we'd have problems too. But what I'm trying to say in this too, we have wrong concepts that we are built up into our lives as we go on. And we need to put these things behind us. We need to realize that we have an awesome God who has given us the facilities to overcome and the facilities to face an enemy. I spoke on the 23rd Psalm the other day, and the end of the 23rd Psalm says, he was able to stand in the presence of his enemies, but he stood with perfect assurance because he knew God was with him and the enemy was already defeated. And I want to tell you, I've read the end of the book and I find the enemy of our soul has also been defeated. He no longer has power over us. Let us get on with the scripture that we are doing in. Because as David went forward into the battle, he took five small stones, smooth stones, that had been smoothed by the stream as they had gone through over the ages. And he put them into his pouch. Now, David wasn't only thinking of the now. He was thinking ahead. For why did he pick up five stones? Because he knew that Goliath had four other brothers who were just as strong and well-equipped as he. And he was not only believing God to defeat this enemy, he was believing God to defeat all five of the brothers and to have the victory. God never gives us a small measure, but he gives us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, full and running over. I want to say that again. He gives us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, full and running over. God is never liberal with his provision for mankind. He has given us the greatest gifts of all in that gift of salvation. He has followed it up by giving us all the powers of heaven and hell to be able to reach out and break down the very balustrades of hell and to raise up a standard for his glory and his honor and his majesty. What a mighty God we serve. I suggest that we give him a hand clap right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I went into a clothing shop with Eric the other day. We were having a game, actually, at one particular place. We were window shopping and writing down the things that we would like to buy and taking photographs of them. And the one who had the highest amount of money spent was the winner. That's a good way to go shopping, isn't it? Well, it so happened we landed up at a men's clothing shop. And plenty bargains going on there. But the man we spoke to was a musician, a professor of one of the gospel choirs, was it, Eric? Or orchestras, a well-versed man in music. And so instead of carrying on with the game, we got waylaid talking to this man about different things. But at the same time, Eric was bemoaning the fact that he put on a little bit of weight. So he decided to find out what his weight was, not what his weight was, but what his size was. And the man pulled out certain suit and he tried it on and it fitted him like a glove. Well, I want to tell you something. The armor of the Lord, which is your armor, and that's specific to your measurements, will fit you like a glove. And it'll be the perfect fit for each and every one of us. Said Abel, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but our enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Now, it says every piece. It doesn't say one or two. It doesn't say miss out this piece or that piece. Half the Christian world today forget about salvation and never put on the main thing, the helmet of salvation. Anyway, let's go a little bit further. Because I hear people preaching the gospel and it's the dead preaching to the dead. We want to bring life in the pulpits of the church. You're going to have to pray for God's sovereign revival to wake up the Christian church and the body of Christ, that ministers and people of God in high places will get back to God and catch a vision for the things of God. That you in your Sunday schools and areas give the people the living word, not a dead word, but a word that will bring life and help to them. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Now, I want to say something to you here. The belt of truth, does that stick in your grill? Does that make you think, am I truthful? Am I have the truth on my side? I think its reference here is the word of God. That the truth of the word must be broadcast. Not some theory that you have or some analytical problem that you may have and you think it's this way or that way, but it's the truth of God's word. And I believe God's word is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit and represented by the living word, Jesus Christ, who lives in each and every one of us. For John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was very God. I like to put that word very in there. It's not in the King James translation. But it sort of emphasizes the truth of God's Word. It emphasizes that he is the very Word of God, part of the Godhead, and part and partial together with the family of God, dwelling amongst us today in his spirit and in his love. He also says the righteousness, the belt of righteousness. Now, I'd hate to see it happen, but it has happened to me on a couple of occasions. You see, unlike Eric, I've been losing weight. It's all right, Eric. I love you in the Lord. I walked into Sainsbury's, a big shop like your BJ's and places like this, one day, and hadn't realized that my belt had slipped a little bit lower on the waist, where it's a lot thinner, and I had to grab quickly as my trousers began to fall down. But you know, I believe the belt of righteousness is the belt that God has for us to stand with right standing with Him. It's not slipping. It's not falling short. It's a belt built in His righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And I pray, Lord, I have one of the gifts that You've given me is Your righteousness. So that now becomes my righteousness. I believe the word filthy rags, and there are other words that go with it that I don't want to mention at the moment. When it talks about our righteousness, I believe so often our righteousness looks so filthy to God because it is so set below His standard. The God standard of righteousness is far greater than anything that we may have or anything that we are. And that if our righteousness could stand before God, we wouldn't need the righteousness of God. And our righteousness is based on the fact that Jesus paid the price fully for everything we have done in the past. He has paid it, and we stand in His righteousness. When I stand before the Father one day, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who stands in my place and pleads my case before the Father. And He pleads before the Father by holding up the precious blood that was shed on Calvary for me, by holding up the scars and the pain that He suffered on Calvary, and said, "This is the price I paid for the righteousness of men and women, that they may stand in my presence and in your presence today." I'm not just a person who is born again of the Spirit of God, but I'm a child of God. I'm engrafted into the family of God. No longer is the tree separate from the branch, but the branch is engrafted in, and whatever nutriments come from that tree will flow into that branch and bring forth fruit for the glory of God. And this is standing in His righteousness and in the fullness of what He has for us. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. I've been praying a lot about Israel recently, and a lot of people have got the idea that we must pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. Well, the Bible tells us to do so. But I don't believe that's a peace on the wars that are going on, because we have many wars that are going on in our lives right now. But we stand in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And even though these wars are going in our life, we have absolute peace. I think of Charlie as he goes out to see his family and the death of that son. And I really sympathize with him a lot at this time. But I'm sure his Christian faith will hold him safe in the Lord and give him a peace far above a natural peace. I've lost children in my own life and people that I've seen and loved in many areas. But during those times of turmoil, doesn't mean that I don't grieve, doesn't mean that I don't miss them, doesn't mean that I don't long to see them again sometime, which I will do in glory, I hope, anyway, with all of them. But God gives you an inner peace, a strength to go on in the things of the Lord. I'm reminded again of the diver who goes deep down into the sea, 300, 400 feet down underwater. The vessel he has been dropped from is up above and is under a tremendous storm as it's being hit by one wave after the other, and the rain is just pouring down upon that boat. And right underneath them is a man standing 300-400 feet on the bottom of the ocean there. He doesn't feel a thing. That's when I think of the peace of God. No matter what your trials are, no matter what your difficulties are in life, my God is a God who gives us peace, and the peace of God, the path of understanding, and that peace only comes by knowing him intimately and loving him as Savior and King, because it ends here with the good news, so that you will be prepared. They overcome by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. It is by our testimony and by our fruit that God will be able to give us the power to overcome no matter what the situation is. I was listening to a situation last night where the person was saying that they don't know which way to turn or what to do in the situation. And Eric, with all his wisdom, and I praise God for that, turned round. No, it was Tammy actually this time. It was Tammy who turned round, slightly different, and turned round to this person and says, you know, sometimes you have to see God's way of doing things. He doesn't always do things and nip a thing in the bud just right here and there. He waits until the whole storm comes in, and then he nips it in the bud, and the whole thing is eradicated because God defeats the enemy in an awesome way. And sometimes it goes that way. Not always. Sometimes God will just take it like that. I believe many people are healed as they go on their way. Some people are healed as a miracle of God immediately, but there is ultimate healing there. Where are we? Good news that he prepared. In addition to all this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. Now, I love to see a good shield. I have one at home that I painted red on the one side and black around it, and I put a couple of cross swords in the center of it there, and depicting also a picture of the tartan that I'm a Munro, the Munro tartan in there, and a little badge that goes in there. Makes me feel quite good that I'm part of a clan, part of a people who have gone through history and part of the history books, and many of you have the same thing as well. But this is just a shield on display and something good. But the shield of faith is something quite different. It's a shield that has power. It is a shield that has helped us to overcome our enemies. It's a shield that we can rise to defend ourselves against the power of the enemy. And that shield, I believe, is the Word of God. I've come back to it again, haven't I? The Word of God is a shield for each and every one of us. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. For the problems and the difficulties of life, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. He is our shield and buckler, and he's the one who is able to see us through and give us the victory. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There we have it again. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit with the Word of God. Now, I'm still thinking of David to a certain extent. He took 5 stones. Maybe those stones were a shield. Maybe another one was a belt. Another one was a helmet. Another was shoes, and so on. But we need to defeat the enemy with the weapons of God's giving us, that God gives to us. Pray that the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, pray in the Spirit, not for the Spirit. In the Spirit. Beloved, you can't pray in the Spirit if you're not born again. And if you're not born again, you need to get born again. Now that's using Christian terminology. And Christian terminology to those who are not born again is quite different sometimes to the hearer and what they're hearing. To be born again means not to enter back into your mother's womb, but to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and totally surrender to him everything that you are and everything he is. Give him all the glory and all the honor and make your peace with God. I'm not the way I am today that I was 50 years ago. I was a new Christian 50 years ago. And even at 5 years of age in the Lord, I never understood the meaning of a lot of these things people were bringing at me. I didn't know anything about tithing. Oh, isn't tithing a lovely subject for everybody? Until one day God spoke to me and said, Barry, I want you to give 10% of your salary to me. Nobody had told me it was in the Bible. Nobody had told me anything about it. So I went to church one night, and I spoke to the deacons who were handing out the hymn books and that at the door. They used to do that those days. And I said to them, what's this that God is speaking to you about, giving 10% of your salary? And they told me all about tithing. So, well, Lord, that sounds great, but I only get £22.10 a month. Now, £22.10, that's English money, would probably be about $30 a month, which is not a lot of money. I was paying my dad rent to stay at home. My sister and brother, he charged slightly higher than me because they were getting higher salaries. But I had to pay my way home at home too. When I looked at my salary, by the time I paid out everything I had to pay out, I doubt if I had as much as £5 a month to live on, to buy clothing and that. My shoes sometimes were flopping like a fish mouth opening. And people would come to me and in the church, and they would actually offer to buy me a pair of shoes. Isn't that degrading sometimes? But you know, my God supplies all our needs according to his great riches and glory. As my dad found out I was tithing and he was objecting me going to church anyway, he decided to up my rent if I didn't stop tithing. Guess what? I didn't stop tithing. And right from that day until now, I've kept on tithing and giving a 10% of every, not 10%, I believe giving 100% right now, because then God shows me what is food and what is seed. And he has control of the purse strings. And I live according to my faith in whatever he tells me to do and the way he wants me to go. I tell you, that's much better than tithing. But tithing's a good start. Being honorable to God and honoring him in all that he gives to us and all he gives, all that is his. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. I see time is flying. I better start landing, hadn't I? Okay. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. When I first came to the Lord, I thought 5 minutes was a long time in prayer. I can say everything I need to say in 5 minutes. I can't even say everything I need to say in 3 hours these days. But you know, God teaches us to pray, and God took me through a learning curve in prayer on how to pray and what to pray about. The Spirit of God would come about upon me in a prayer meeting to lead out in prayer. Initially, I resisted it because I was too scared to pray out aloud in church. But after a while, I got the pastor to pray for me. They'd be able to pray in church. Sounds crazy. You can't think that I used to shake like a leaf at one time when I got into the pulpit and started praying or doing anything. Because one tends to be relying on self and not on the God who gives us peace that passes understanding. Anyway, the next prayer meeting I got to, I prayed out aloud at the top of my voice. I hope they still found the roof of the church. And I kept doing that until one day I said, Lord, I want to be able to pray in a normal voice in church. I want to be able to speak in a normal voice in church. And a whole lot of people came out to give testimony that Sunday morning. We used to give testimony to the glory of God. They said, I'm going to give a testimony this morning, and I want to give it in a normal voice that I can give glory to your name. And I stood up there. I can still remember part of the testimony I gave God. I'd started off, I want to praise and thank God for all his love and grace towards me. And I just stood there in a normal voice and spoke to the Lord. And be honest with you, as long as I know the Holy Spirit is with me, as long as I know the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, I know that he walks beside me and I have strength in him. Not my strength. I draw from the strength on high. And I want to tell you something today. Start drawing on the strength of prayer. Start drawing on the Word of God. Start drawing on the things that God has given to you. And if you don't know Jesus, give your heart to him now.